And so from this, I kind of gather and I realize, God, is this how we're supposed to live? You know, is this what it means to live a fulfilling life? Do we, like Isaiah, have to stick our necks out? Do we have to go tell people that, hey, you know, what you're doing isn't very good? Do we have to go into government and tell them, hey, you know, you're kind of messing up. You know, you need to trust in God instead of trusting in other people's armies and other nations. And so I'm going through this time of just kind of figure out, hey, Lord, so is this what I'm supposed to share on? Because I feel like I'm receiving revelation. I feel like I'm receiving revelation from you about how as Christians we should live. And I should share about, oh yeah, we need to really fight for the righteous. We need to really fight for the things God believes in. And as I was meditating, I felt like God was saying to me, he was like, Ricky, that's good, but I feel like you've missed the mark a little bit. And I was like, what? What do you mean I've missed the mark? I mean, we should be living righteous lives, right? We should be living lives where we're looking at the Word, telling people, you know, what the Word says and what God tells us to do. And so I said, I have no idea what you mean, God. So I was like, can you teach me? And he said, okay, can you please bring me somewhere that I can understand? So he brought me to John 5, verse 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. In fact, even after reading it, I actually still didn't get it. I still thought, God, you're still telling me the same thing. And the reason why I thought this is because in chapter 5, the context of this verse is Jesus just healed a lame man by a pool. And he was just confronted by the Jews. Hey, Jesus, you just healed on the Sabbath. What are you doing? Are you supposed to? I thought Sabbath was supposed to be a rest day. And so when I read this verse, I thought Jesus was really confronting them like Isaiah did to the people and the king. Hey, I'm doing the right thing here. I'm healing people. You should be doing the same. And God kept telling me, Ricky, I think you've missed the mark. And actually, up until 4 this morning, when God woke me up to kind of give me something else to talk about, I had still missed the mark because I had something totally else prepared. But I think from this verse, God was kind of showing me something about sometimes our attitudes toward living a fulfilling life or how we are to live as Christians. Because I think sometimes, as Christians, we're looking so much at a purpose and the how that we're kind of forgetting the why. I don't know about you, but that's something I kind of struggle with too, right? Is oftentimes I'm like, Lord, where should I go? Should I leave my job? Should I find another job? Should I go into full-time ministry? Can I one day, you know, I don't know, preach somewhere and heal the sick? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I feel like God's saying, yeah, you can do that, but it's still missing the mark. So let's go to the Word. Therefore, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. As I read it this morning at 4 in the morning, God finally helped me realize what it meant. The entire time, I thought he was giving me examples of what we were supposed to do. Honestly, the entire time when I was reading Isaiah, when I was reading this, I thought, God, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to look for righteous outlets, right? But there's two principles that God brought me to in this verse. And the first of these principles was that it's important. Not only do we look for the how, but the why. Jesus recognized this when he told us this in verse 19, because he recognized, first of all, that he is a son, and that's it. Because when God is looking at us, when he's looking at the things that we're looking to do, whether they're righteous things, whether we want to change the nations for him, the most important thing to him is not the fact that we do it. Yes, it's important that we obey, but it's why are we doing it? What is our heart doing amidst of that? Are we doing things begrudgingly? Are we doing things out of a desire because we need a purpose? I do that. You know, I think we do all do that sometimes. Where we think, God, I need to have a really godly purpose so that I can live it out, and at the end of my life, I'll feel like I've lived this life and was satisfied and was able to do something for you. These are good things. A purpose is definitely a good thing. But I think that's also missing the mark, because God first calls us to be sons. And I'm reminded that even Jesus, before his ministries, in Matthew 3, verse 17, right? God says to him, before he did anything else, before he served anyone, before he had any miracles, God said, this is my son whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. And so I feel like that's what God is saying to us today. What is your desire? What is it that when you're looking for things that God is doing around you, are you looking for them out of a selfish motive because we desire a purpose? Or is it because you truly think, hey, God, I'm satisfied as a son. I don't really need anything else. You are really the first thing that I need, but I'm seeking you in a purpose. And so the second point I'm trying to get to is I believe that everything that we do, whether it's righteous purpose or not, comes out of the overflow of that relationship in our heart. Without understanding who we are in God, there is no way we can continue in whatever purpose God's called us to. In fact, I might even say that unless we know who are we are in God and what God is really doing in our lives and what and who he's calling us to, even the purposes that he gives us ends up being idols. And not only do they end up being idols, we may lose steam halfway through. And the reason I say that is because if I look at Jesus, and if I look at Isaiah, right, they were doing the things that we're talking about. You know, some of the things, maybe he's called you to the workplace. Maybe he's called you to the mountain of business, right? Some of us I know, and some of us to ministry. And no matter how big it is, if we were to look at a purpose and simply do it because we feel like, oh, I need to do it because it's a great purpose, eventually we're going to run out of ability to do so. Isaiah, when he tells people you're messing up, and when he's telling kings that they need to trust in God, I look at him and I actually think he's a little crazy because he's sticking his neck out for a bunch of people that, well, I guess he doesn't know, and most importantly, have kind of lost their way, and a mob that probably didn't like him very much, and we read this in Isaiah. And Jesus, when he's talking to the Jews and the Pharisees, he's talking to a group of people who know the word, but really have no desire to follow. And so in order for them to do that, I really feel like it has to come from a place where they understand the relationship from God. So that's what I feel like God is saying to us through his word today is, what is it that's in your heart? What is it that you desire to do? And where is it that you feel like God is placing you in this time? Is it just for a purpose? Is everything that you're looking for, whether it's your job, whether it's satisfying, is it a selfish pursuit of, I need to do this because I need to feel important or I need to feel like God loves me? Or is it simply because you have a relationship with God and that it is through that relationship that God is prompting you and giving you the desire to be able to serve him? And so I feel like that's what he's saying to us today. So let's bow our heads. Are you looking to only the how and not the why? What is your response when leadership suggests that you serve? Do you feel challenged, maybe annoyed that you need to spend time to serve? I feel like maybe if that's the case, we need to pray that maybe God can touch you. That maybe he can show you that really he's pleased with you already. That there's really, it's not like he needs you to serve for you to be loved. But rather, serving is a response of being able to love God back in obedience. Or maybe you are serving. Maybe you're already doing so much and that maybe you're a little bit tired. Maybe what we can pray for today is that God kind of reminds you, hey, it's not out of duty that you serve or it's just responsibility, but because I love you and because you love me. So maybe we need to pray that God touches us and refreshes us. Or maybe you already have that. You already have that relationship with God. You already have the desire to just be a son. Well, then maybe you're looking for the how. Well, there's hope for us in that too, because in verse 20 it says, For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. So really in this verse, or maybe I should say two verses, God's already telling us that I'm going to have a purpose for you. I already have these things for you. But seek me first. The purposes are good, but they will never satisfy you. The things that you're going to do are great. The things for the righteousness and the justice and the obedience, they're things God loves. But without that relationship, without the understanding and the touch of understanding how important you are as a son or a daughter, we'll never be able to get to the things that God's really called us to, because we'll always not be satisfied. And when we're not satisfied, our heart will always be looking to different things. And so let's pray. Let's ask God, Lord, where's my heart today? Am I really serving you fully? Am I really giving you all that I am? Are my pursuits selfish pursuits? Or are they pursuits because I love you? Let's pray. Let's go to our community focus today. Let's pray for those that are sick with cancer and are going through, whether it's treatment with chemo or whether they need transplants. But let's really pray with faith, because these are the things that God's called us to do, and He's the one that promises healing. Our job is only to pray. So let's really pray that God really comes and touches them and comes and brings healing. Let's also pray for those who are sick but need salvation. Let's pray that through this time that God will be speaking and will be able to touch their hearts. Let's pray for a birthing of faith and salvation in their lives along with healing. Thank you. Let's pray for our friends that have other infirmities who are saved. But let's pray for healing over them. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Let's pray that in this time that they'll continue to trust in God and that they'll be provided for financially and have people around them who can support them. Let's also pray that in this time that their hearts will also be prepared as well, that wherever God's called them to, that they also understand that that's also their mission field. So let's pray. Let's pray for our ministries today, our local ministries. Let's pray for the local church in Hong Kong. Let's pray for YWAM, HK, Sons and Daughters, Masters, Beauty, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry. Let's pray for God to really be able to come through in all the ministries in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for the missions committee, Pastor Yu, Jamie, John Kang, Sarah, Kiwan, and Janella, the local outreach team as well, and yeah, let's pray for these two groups. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Let's really pray for the government of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the wealth gap, maybe even a revival here. Let's pray for City on a Hill and Light in China. Let's pray for God to really do something in this place. You know, more and more as we read the news, we see some of the things that that the government is doing and recognizing, they're starting to recognize, you know, some of the economics even in Hong Kong just doesn't work in terms of helping the poor. Let's really pray for wisdom. Let's even pray that God instills a God-fearing government into Hong Kong, maybe. But let's really pray that God really does something in this place. Let's pray for the activities with SP today, IP tonight. Let's pray that God really speaks to the IP team, that they're able to really pray and cover the church according to, you know, the things that God's doing in this place. Let's pray for SPU and for P. Hunsu as he leads the ministry. For EG, let's pray for P. Sam. He's been going through migraines, I think, all week, and so I think he's been pretty sick. So let's really pray for God to cover him. And for God to really be able to work through him despite his physical illness. And let's also pray for McCain House Church as well. So, Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, for just your word and the opportunity, Lord, to come together, Lord, and pray. So, Father, I pray, God, just for blessing, Lord, over my brothers and sisters, God, and covering over them as well, Lord, as they go to work, as they serve you, Lord, in their ministries, God. May they really feel your joy, God, over them, Lord, and your direction as well. And so, Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise your name in Son's most precious name. Amen. So enjoy your rest of EMP. See you guys Sunday.